Well, if you want to open in your Bibles, we're in Galatians chapter 6 today. And we'll be reading verses 1 to 5. Okay. So Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. And that's the end of our reading there. Let's just open in prayer before we look at this passage. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and your spirit. And we do pray for each one of us today that we would be obedient to your word. And as your spirit speaks to each heart here this afternoon, including my own, that we might take something away that would make us be more like Christ. And in this coming week, that through the power of your Spirit, you might be able to use us to share that wonderful message of salvation that we each know personally. So we pray your blessing on this time we are sharing here this afternoon in your word, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to take it and break it down and take it sort of verse by verse. So the first one opens up, brothers. I've actually copied a different translation. I think it's ESV or something here. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. So it opens up and it says, brothers. I love this term. It doesn't happen so much in chapels, I've noticed. Definitely, if you went to a gospel hall, you're going to get it. When you enter the gospel halls, they're going to give you the brother. And I miss it, especially when I'm away. It's nice to be, if I visited in the Sioux, and I go in and they're good to see you, brother. And it really warms your heart when you're away from your own assembly to know that you still have that connection with the brothers there and sisters there. And of course, as we look at these things, when you see these things, it doesn't just only pretend or it doesn't only go to men, it's also men and women that are included in this. This is brothers and sisters in Christ. Then it says, if anyone, so that's pretty inclusive, eh? Anyone is caught in any transgression. So anyone in any transgression. And then I put the word caught in black, and it's there for a reason. We're going to look at that in a little bit. Then it says, you who are spiritual should restore him. Well, if it says you who are spiritual, it also tells us that in the assembly there are those who are not spiritual. And that can be a problem. That may even be the problem in this case that he's talking about, if it's an actual case, that the person has slipped away a little bit and got into transgression. It says, and then you who are spiritual are, and what do you want to do with that person? You want to have them restored, first in their relationship to the Lord, and then to the fellow believers as well. So restore him, and then how to restore him? Well, in a spirit of gentleness. You get nowhere without a spirit of gentleness. If you want to, you know, get pulled over by a police officer and you want to give him a hard time, I can guarantee you, you're walking away with a ticket. And John will probably tell you the same. But if you are usually quite nice and gentle with the person, I just had this happen recently to me. The police officer actually gave me a choice of the ticket I was going to get because I treated him very nice. And I got a ticket that didn't include any points on my license or anything. He said, I had my insurance slip and it wasn't current. He goes, if I give you that one, there's nothing that happens in your driving record, but it's going to cost you $20 more. Which do you want? Type of thing. But it was all because of the fact that I just said to him, you know, and he asked me if I drove my car for business. I said, yeah, you know, I do about 300 clicks a day driving all over. And, it's a speed trap that he's in. It's a very leading traffic area for speed, basically. And but that whole thing of, you know, being nice to the guy really did pay off a lot. So the word caught, it means, and I just took a few dictionary definitions, to seize or capture, especially after pursuit, to catch a thief, to entrap or snare, to catch a fish, to allow to become gripped, hooked, snagged, or entangled, as he caught his coat on a nail, to deceive. No one was caught by his sugary words. So in those four definitions there that you can see, you've got that situation of being caught or trapped and deceived, all these things that happen with sin, right? I put down here Proverbs 12:13. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. And as some of you probably know, my dad was a trapper. So as a young kid, I trapped all the time. I knew how to ensnare animals. You know, my dad taught me it, and I went out and set snares all the time and caught animals. And you would do it through trickery. And in order to catch a rabbit, you would set up this little, there's trails in the winter where they run. The colder it gets, the more they run. And you would see the trail. And then you would set up a tree branch like this, and put some brushes all on the side so that they had to go through this little tiny space. And in that space, you had a snare. And as soon as they went through it, you caught them, you ensnared them. So there was purposely this little trap set up to catch the one. And so it is with sin. Satan loves to set up the little trap and have us ensnared. Now it changes a little bit of direction. It says, keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. So keep watch, I always think of that as somebody on guard, you know, the watchman on the wall type of thing, watching out because the enemy's going to try and sneak in somehow. And so that's why you have somebody on guard. So the Lord's saying, keep on watch yourself, lest you too be tempted. So we can see in this situation, the person's fallen into sin because they were tempted. And I've put in James 1:15 here. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. So you get that little picture, you know. First you have the conception, and then you have it growing and have it, there's a birth that takes place, and then when it's full grown, it brings death. I thought of this for some of you here. I'm sure you've had this situation happen. You're in school and, you know, trying to be part of the in crowd or whatever, and someone tempts you to smoke a cigarette for the first time. I remember when it happened when I was a child in probably early high school, and one of the guys that was there, he took a little puff, and he started coughing his head off. He never smoked again, though, that guy. You know, he was tempted, though, but what he did just turned him right off. But there's others who, if they could have only said no that first time, you know, they wouldn't have been stuck with a habit that would go on for costing thousands and thousands of dollars and ruining their health and such. And then when it's full grown, it says it brings forth death. And you get that same thing, too. Someone starts off drinking and using drugs or whatever, and to the point where they might end up becoming a heroin addict and whatnot, and then losing their physical life because this sin that started off what they thought innocently in high school or something has now led to their death. They got hooked and they can't get out. They're caught, right? And it brings forth death. 1 John chapter 2. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and we have this case here, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So when you look at these three, the lust of the flesh, sexual desires that, you know, I was in this Shoppers Drug Mart, and they have those cheesy magazines that are there, you know, when you're walking, going through the checkout, and it had all these love triangles, these famous love triangles were all on the front of it. You know, somebody eyes somebody else's wife, and then it ends up in a big murder situation or whatever. But the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and I think of this, I think of David up on that rooftop. You know, his sin was started long before that. He shouldn't have been home at all. He should have been out on the front with the men. But here he is on the rooftop, and it was the lust of the eyes that was the thing that drew him in there. And then there's the pride of life, of course. Pride always comes before a downfall. Our next verse, 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So bearing one another's burdens means sharing in sorrows, sufferings, hard times, problems of this present life. And as Christians, that's what we're to do, bear one another's burdens. And then it says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And the law of Christ would be all his commandments, summed up, though, as love one another as I have loved you. So we are to love one another as Christ has loved us. Verse 3, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And I put Darby down here. I do not know a whole lot about John Nelson Darby. In fact, I only know this one little story that I ever heard, but it has something to do with this. I guess he was on his way to see a person who had fallen into adultery to minister to this person, and he brought another brother along with him. And the other brother said on the way over, I don't know how he could have done that. I just don't know how he could have done that. And Mr. Darby said, well, then you better go back home. And the guy was totally shocked. What do you mean? He goes, if you don't know how he fell into this sin, how can you minister to him? And he wouldn't take him along with him to do any of the consulting there. So, you know, if anyone thinks he's something, if we think we're something on our own without the power of God and the Spirit of God, we're nothing. And we're just deceiving ourselves. We need, no matter who we are and where we are, we really have to rely on the Spirit of God and the Word of God and obedience to the Word. And this is a very important thing. I had a teacher, Mrs. Baker, I think she was in my early grades, and she taught me that 2 + 2 = 4. And if I decided to say to Mrs. Baker, nah, it's 5. Sorry. I just don't get the 2 + 2 = 4. It wouldn't go so well with me in Mrs. Baker's class. And if I stuck to it for the rest of my time, it wouldn't go too good with me at all either. You wouldn't see my grades in chemistry and such being great if I still put in every time the answer should be 2 + 2, it would be 5. So being obedient to the truth is something that we need to be doing. And then God can move us a little further along. If we, you know, just are not going to work with God's Spirit, then we're going to stay in a spot. He can't move us along. It'd be like trying to train somebody how to fly an airplane and then they just never read past page 2 in the manual. Are you going to say, okay, well, get behind the wheel here? No, thanks. So it's obedience to the Word that really matters. And then verse 4, but let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not his neighbor. And I think what really is getting said in here is you can boast in yourself, and you're boasting in the Lord and the power that he's given you to overcome whatever it might be. But the little bit at the end, and not in your neighbor, this is the wrong kind of boasting. It's, I could never do what George did. I tell you, you know, there's no way I would ever do what George did. Because then what we're doing is we're elevating ourselves. And, of course, we're putting down George. And, you know, Scripture is full from one end to the other that, you know, he who humbles himself will be exalted, and he who exalts himself will be humbled, right? So in here, it's if we're going to test our own work, it's how God's worked in our own lives, not so much worrying about how better we are than our neighbor. And then verse 5, for each will have to bear his own load. And if we compare verse 2 and 5 of a King James translation, at least we could have a little bit of a contradiction. And I put them both here because verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, whereas verse 5 says, every man shall bear his own burden. It's a little contradictory sounding, at least on the outset of it. But if we take it, other translations will say it differently. But if you look at verse 2, as we looked at it earlier, to bear each other's sorrows and troubles and such in this life, and the other one as, every man shall bear his own responsibility before the Lord. That's a clearer version of these two verses, and hopefully that gets rid of this sort of what could be a contradiction in one translation. But anyway, when we look at all this, I think of this section of Scripture as the old thing of, you know, if you're pointing your finger at somebody, you got to remember that there's three fingers that are pointing back, and that we are all very susceptible to falling into sin. And then when somebody does fall into sin, we should have a heart to come alongside that person in love and try to restore them back into that relationship with the Lord. And sometimes I think in the past, in various churches throughout the world, it's been the other way around, where sort of stones get tossed at somebody and people get hurt and they walk away from the church and such. And when really we have to do that in a spirit of gentleness and coming alongside and trying to see that person restored back to the Lord. So that's the end of the message for this afternoon. We'll just close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we've had here today and the clarity of your word and the obligation that we have to it. And yet we know it's not easy. There is our sinful self that always gets in the way. And pride and such very many stumbling blocks that all can be overcome through the power of your Spirit and obedience to it. So we thank you for the time that we've shared this afternoon looking into your word. We thank you for this whole series in Galatians that we are free. We are set free from the law, but we owe it all to our magnificent Savior who gave his life that we might live. And Father, we do pray that this coming week we would each be drawn closer to you, that we would be separating ourselves, living lives that are holy, and that you might give us these windows of opportunity to be servants of this wonderful message and to share it with others, to come alongside of a dying world here and say, there is life and life eternal, but it's found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray that this week might be one of those weeks when you would open up a door of opportunity to share our faith with others, and that through the power of your Spirit, we might be able to do just that. And we give you thanks and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.